Deuteronomy chapter 16. Our text tonight is found in the first 8 verses. Deuteronomy 16, 1 through 8. Observe the month of Abib, and keep the Passover unto the Lord thy God. For in the month of Abib the Lord thy God brought thee forth out of Egypt by night. Thou shalt therefore sacrifice the Passover unto the Lord thy God of the flock and the herd in the place which the Lord shall choose to place his name there. Thou shalt eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shalt thou eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction, for thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. And there shall be no leavened bread seen with thee in all thy coast 7 days. Neither shall there any thing of the flesh which thou sacrificest the first day at even remain at night till the morning. Thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates which the Lord thy God giveth thee, but at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name in, there thou shalt sacrifice the Passover at even, at the going down of the sun, at the season that thou camest forth out of Egypt. And thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Thou shalt turn in the morning and go into thy tents. 6 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and on the 7th day shall be a solemn assembly to the Lord thy God. Thou shalt do no work therein. Father, we thank thee for thy word. As we have just sung, we pray that thou wouldst break the bread of life to us by instructing us from thy word in the areas in which you see we have needs. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our topic tonight is remembering our deliverance. This is a special year for our nation, 200 years of independence. And so we have all kinds of special celebrations. Our church has a special celebration in this sense that we have special chimes that are playing, that play hymns and songs that are related to our independence and our gratitude to God for what He has done for us as a nation. We have a special day each year, the 4th of July, in which we remember our independence. When we were missionaries in Chile, we had 2 days because the Chileans set aside September 18 and 19 because they don't feel you can do a good job in just 1 day. And so they have 2 days of remembering their independence. And here we find that God gives to the Israelites something extra special. They have 8 days. That's not all that bad, is it? 8 days to remember, to remind themselves of their deliverance from the land of Egypt. The first day was the Passover, and following that were 7 days of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And this was important. God wanted them to remember their deliverance. We find in the book of Romans, the first chapter, regarding men, God says that they knew God, but they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. In other words, there is something very important about gratitude. Being grateful to God, one of the first steps away from God is ingratitude. And God here wanted to be sure that the Israelites remembered with gratitude what He had done for them in bringing them out of slavery, out of the land of Egypt. And so here in the 16th chapter of Deuteronomy, we have presented to us 3 special feast times of the Israelites. And the first of these, in verses 1 through 8, is the combination of Passover and unleavened bread, forming one feast time. Let's notice, first of all, the Passover, beginning in verse 1. Regarding the Passover, the first thing we notice is the time of this. It was in the month of Abib, and that month would fall in the time of our March and April. Later on in other places, the month Abib is referred to as Nisan. It was changed later from the title that was given to it, but this would be about in our time of March or April. And the Passover had a very special significance for the Israelites in that it was the remembrance of their deliverance from the land of Egypt. Remembering that they had been slaves in the land of Egypt, that God had delivered them from that slavery. There were many other details that would come to their minds as they remembered what God had done. The fact that God had delivered them without a battle. They were able to leave the land without having to fight for freedom. Remembering also that God had taken the firstborn of the Egyptians, taken the lives of all the firstborn of the Egyptians, whereas the Israelites had been protected and they did not lose their firstborn. They were spared. Remembering also that God had brought them through the Red Sea and taken them to the Mount Sinai. And so this time of Passover, the significance of it would bring many vivid memories to the Israelites. And this was the purpose then. In fact, in Exodus chapter 13, verses 14 and 15, God tells them this is what they were to tell their sons and daughters when they asked them. In Exodus 13, 14, "And it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What is this? That thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem." And so, verse 16, "It shall be for a token upon thine hand, thy frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt." And so, when their children asked them what these things meant, it was a means of sharing with them, explaining to them what God had done for them. And so this had a very important significance for the Israelites. It was not to be a hilarious time, as we think of feast times, as sometimes the terminology is used. It was to be a time of joy because God had delivered them. But it was a time of serious joy because at this time they had to sacrifice a lamb. That lamb had to give its life. They ate at this time unleavened bread, which was which was called in many places in Scripture bread of affliction, because it reminded them that they had not had time even to leaven their bread before they left Egypt. They ate it with bitter herbs. And so it was a serious joy, a sincere gratitude. I suppose we might say it would be similar to a prisoner of war who remembers vividly what he went through, gratefully what he has been delivered from, and perhaps at the same time remembering that he still has buddies who are prisoners. And so it's a time of deep appreciation and gratitude for his deliverance, but at the same time realizing the seriousness of that, of which he was, prisoner. And so this was to be a time of not hilarious celebration, but of deep joy and gratitude to God. They were told here very carefully also the place where they were to have this Passover, where they were to celebrate it. Now, in Egypt, originally, the original event was held in the home. Each family would sacrifice their own lamb. They had to place the blood on the door of the home. Then when the death angel went through the country and he would pass over the homes where the blood was on the doorpost, and the firstborn in that home would not die. And so this was the historical event, and a lamb served for each house. Now, the historical event then was the basis for the later formulation of the feast that God had commanded them. And this then was at Sinai, and at Sinai they were commanded to observe the feast of the Passover in remembrance of the event of the Passover. And the actual feast of the Passover was held at the tabernacle. And so all of the Israelites would gather together at the tabernacle, and there they would have the feast of the Passover. It was eaten with unleavened bread, and it was an 8-day fellowship of Passover, unleavened bread, with all of the believers round about, centered around the tabernacle, and it was to be a time of fellowship together. Now, Moses warns the Israelites here in Deuteronomy. He says, now when you go into the land of Canaan, I want you to celebrate the Passover in the place that God will indicate to you. Later we find that was Jerusalem, and that's where the temple was built in Jerusalem. So God says, that is the place then where you shall celebrate the Passover. The temple in Jerusalem, the place the Lord thy God shall choose. And notice how many times this is repeated. We have it in verse 5, thou mayest not sacrifice the Passover within any of thy gates. Verse 6, but at the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. Verse 7, thou shalt roast and eat it in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. And so over and over again he emphasizes the original Passover was in your homes with the blood on the door. That was the event. But the religious feast that I am commanding you is not to be within your gates, but it is to be together. This is to be a celebration of the entire congregation together. And so this was a very, very important thing. And in fact, they were warned on many occasions. In Numbers 9:13, for example, another warning, but the man that is clean and is not in journey and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of the Lord in his appointed season, that man shall bear his sin. And so they were warned that they had to have a good excuse for not being at that Passover and together with the other believers remembering their deliverance from the land of Egypt. And so that was the warning that was given here also in this place in Deuteronomy. Moses warns them again. He says, be sure that when you get in the land of Canaan, you aren't tempted to stay home because the distance is great or something like that. Remember that you are to be together in that place that I designate and keep the Passover. And so this is stressed again here to the Israelites, just as it had been on previous occasions. Now, along with the Passover, following along was the unleavened bread, and the timing for that was the 7 days following the Passover. And we have this explained not only here in Deuteronomy, but in many other portions. For example, in Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Leviticus 23:5, in the 14th day of the first month at even is the Lord's Passover. On the 15th day of the same month is the feast of unleavened bread unto the Lord. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. In the first day ye shall have a holy convocation, ye shall do no servile work therein, but ye shall offer an offering made by fire unto the Lord 7 days. In the seventh day is a holy convocation, ye shall do no servile work therein. And so this was a big celebration. They were to offer offerings every day during that entire time. And the first of the 7 days was a holy convocation, do no work, in other words, nothing but giving themselves to the word. And the last day was also the same thing. And on the intermediate days, they could do some of their duties, But also they were offering these special offerings. And so we can see they had a good 8-day Bible conference to remember that which God had done for them. And so the significance of the unleavened bread was that they hadn't had time to leaven the bread before they left Egypt. But it had an additional significance, not only because they left Egypt in a hurry, but also from the standpoint that it would have no leaven. And leaven is a symbol of corruption. Leaven actually produces fermentation. And so this is a reminder to them of the purity of life that should follow their deliverance. That means that after we are saved, God wants purity of life. And so after the Passover, reminding themselves of their deliverance, they have this Feast of the Unleavened Bread, reminding themselves that God wants purity in their lives, holiness in their lives. And so holiness must follow our redemption. And the Jews were very meticulous about this. And they would search out of their homes every bit of leaven, every bit of leavened bread, and so that no leaven would be with them during this special time. And the purpose of this, once again, Moses emphasizes it in verse 3, the final part of verse 3. The purpose of all of this is that thou mayest remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. He says, I don't want you to ever forget what I did for you in bringing you out of the land of Egypt. Now, in the New Testament, we have also a Passover service. And the communion service in the New Testament is the counterpart of the Passover of the Old Testament. And so, in the New Testament, we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, Paul explains that Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. 1 Corinthians 5, 6, Paul says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? So here he's making a reference to the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and he says it's pride is what it is, and leaven is typical of pride. You are puffed up. And so he says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. And so we find that Christ is our Passover, and he has been sacrificed for us. And in Scripture, we find how perfectly Christ fulfills that Passover lamb. For example, the Passover lamb was to be perfect, and we find in John 8:46 that the Lord Jesus says to the Pharisees, which of you convinceth me of sin? They could find no fault in him, and so he was without spot and without blemish. The Passover lamb, whatever had not been eaten at the time of the offering, was not to be left till morning. We find regarding the Lord Jesus that he was not left upon the cross, but taken down in fulfillment also of this. The Passover lamb was not to have a bone broken. And when they came to see if Christ and the other two that were crucified had died yet, they broke the bones of the two men on each side. But when they came to the Lord Jesus and they saw he had already died, they did not break his bones. And so this also fulfilled the Passover lamb. The lamb is meek. And we find that the Lord Jesus says of himself, I am meek and lowly in heart. And so there was no pride in him, no leaven in him. And the Lord Jesus also mentioned in his teaching, he says, my flesh is bread indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He is our Passover, and fulfills then for us this special Passover feast. The Passover for the Jews was remembering their redemption from the land of Egypt. And the communion service for us then is remembering our redemption from the world, Egypt being a type of the world. And this is to be our remembrance of our redemption. Now, the Passover was to be celebrated in the place that the Lord thy God should tell them. And he says, not in your gates. And that's why the communion service should be held in the church, where God's people are together, and not just held any place, not within your gates. This is a means of fellowship for all of the believers, and is meant to be a means of bringing the believers together. And so we might say the purpose of the communion service, one of them, of course, would be that of fellowship, because the idea is all the believers together in one place, bringing believers together for fellowship. And the communion service then is a very special time of fellowship. Now, we're commanded in Scripture in Hebrews 10:25 not to miss fellowshipping with believers. We are told, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And so the command is that believers are to assemble together for worship, fellowship. But since the communion service represents the Passover of the Old Testament, one of the three times when Israel was not to fail to gather together, remembering their deliverance from the land of Egypt, then this would be a very special time for them and a very special time for us as well. And regarding the Passover, God said, that man shall bear his sin. And I believe it's a very serious thing when believers make light of missing the communion table, the table of the Lord, and not coming together for fellowship in that way. It's a way, I believe, we sin against God in this way, because it's ingratitude. The communion service is especially the time when we show our gratitude to God for delivering us from the world. And so this would be a form of ingratitude as we miss the communion service. We sin against God. We also sin against ourselves in that we miss the blessing. Sometimes we recognize that for health reasons or journey reasons, it's not possible to meet together with the brethren. And for the Passover, God made exceptions for those cases. He said where it was inevitable. But he said, where a man is able and he doesn't do it, then that man shall bear his sin. Some would say, well, I didn't make it, but I listened to the radio or something like that, watched TV. One thing you don't get over the radio and TV is the communion service. And if they do start offering it, you better be careful. Because God says, in the place where I put my name, that's where you shall have the Passover service. And so we sin against ourselves when we miss the communion service. We sin against the other brethren. You know, for many years I've used Hebrews 10:25, a clear exhortation, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. But only recently did I note the connection with the previous verse. Now, verse 24 of Hebrews 10 says, consider one another to provoke to love and good works. Consider one another to provoke to love and good works. Then verse 25, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. And so that means that forsaking the assembling of ourselves together is failing to provoke one another to love and good works. That means that failing to assemble together is a sin against our brethren. We sin against everybody that does come together when we don't come together. And so if I miss, I'm sinning against everybody else. If I miss, unnecessarily. Because our responsibility is to provoke one another to love and good works. And as we come to the services, our goal is to be a blessing to one another, to minister to one another. And if one believer misses, then he is not ministering to all the others, as is his responsibility. And so it is sinning also against the brethren. And so forsaking the assembling together is abandoning my responsibility to encourage the brethren. And so we must come together for this fellowship. It's a means of fellowship. It's also a means of remembrance. And so God told the Israelites, the purpose of this Passover is that you might remember the day that you came forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of your life. And he says, your children will ask you, what do you do that for? And so it's a means of explanation. And so when your children ask and say, you know, what do you pass that little plate around for? What does that mean? Then you have an opportunity of explaining and telling them, I was lost in sin. I was a slave in the world. And God, by his grace, delivered me. And he delivered me because he gave his Son, the Lord Jesus, the Lamb of God, without spot and blemish, to die for my sins. And so now I come together with the other brethren and we eat of this communion service that we might remember the fact that he has delivered us from our sins by his sacrifice on the cross. And so it's a means of remembering what God has done for us. Remembering the day of our deliverance. Now, we will be having our communion service next Sunday evening. And so, one of the very important aspects of that, as we have the communion service, will be that as we are partaking of the elements of the communion service, we will be reminding ourselves what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, that we might not forget what he has done for us. There are other ways also of reminding ourselves what God has done for us. And since our communion service usually then is a little bit longer, I thought perhaps tonight we could have the first half of our communion service in that we would remind ourselves by way of testimonies what God has done for us. Because that's the purpose of the communion service, reminding ourselves that we might not forget, but that we might remember the day that we came forth out of the world all the days of our lives. And so we'd like to do something a little special tonight, something a little different, in that we want to remind ourselves, when was it that I was delivered from the slavery of sin and the world? Where was it when God delivered me from that slavery? And so we don't want, what we want to do is have what you might call popcorn testimonies. For example, where? Well, I was pulled by God's grace out of sin and this world in Corpus Christi, Texas. And so that's the place where I was born again. And I don't want to forget that. It's a tremendous day in my life. And so I'd like to ask each one of you, where? And then when? And then how? And doesn't it do your heart good to remember? And God says, you've got to do this. You've got to remember. I don't want you to ever forget that time when I delivered you out of the land of Egypt. When I laid hold on you and delivered you from your sin, delivered you from this world, and gave you a new life in Christ. And it's so important that we not forget what God has done and remember the way in which he's worked in our hearts and lives. And this is the purpose of the communion service. And next week, as we have the communion service, we need to remind ourselves again, as we are doing tonight, we are doing this because God has delivered us. We aren't just fulfilling a ritual. We're doing this because God has delivered us. And this is just one of the ways that help us remember what God has done. That you might remember the day when thou camest forth out of the land of Egypt all the days of thy life. And so it's so important. If you can't remember exactly when it was, Sometimes you might only remember the year. Well, lay hold on the year and hang on to that. And sometimes there are people who say, well, I'm just not really sure. I think I did. I believe I am, but I'm not really sure. Sometimes we just have to say, well, Lord, I'm not positive. And so right now, I do. Just in case I never did, right now I do trust you as my personal Savior. And this moment, today, tonight, here in this place, is going to be my day of gratitude, my day of remembrance of what you have done for me in sending your Son to die on the cross for my sins, so that you have something concrete to lay hold on and say, even if I did before, I'm not sure, I can't remember, tonight is going to be my time of remembrance, so that you'll have a time that you can hang on to and say, this is the day that the Lord brought me out of the land of Egypt. God says this is so important.